Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, it is in the season of Advent, a part of the Christian year, a part of the liturgy of the church, 4 weeks in length, in which we take time to prepare. Yes, Lord, we are ready now to celebrate the joy and the love and the hope and the peace of Christmas. But we take this time in both expectation and anticipation, not only for the celebration of the fulfillment of your promise to send a Savior, but also while we wait and we watch and we even long for the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. We also thank you for that promise in Scripture. And so, Lord, in these Sundays of Advent, may we take time to focus in on your word and your truth, that we would be strengthened by your Spirit, a spirit of counsel and wisdom as we watch and as we wait. And it doesn't have to be a solemn watching and waiting. It can be one of great anticipation and expectation, because for those who believe in Jesus, it will be a momentous time, an occasion to celebrate. And so we long for and we yearn for. And yet while we live in these days, we pray for people. We pray for brothers and sisters in Christ like ourselves to remain faithful and filled with your peace. We pray for those who have turned away from the Lord. We pray for those who have never heard the name Jesus. We pray for your Spirit and the ministries of the Christian church around the world to offer love and care and conversation and wisdom and teaching. We pray that we would have the anticipation of children as we wait for Christmas and the second coming. Lord, we pray for those on our list of concern this day. We continue to pray for healing and for care and for patience. We now pray for Jody. We pray as she goes through these days leading up to Thursday that she would be prepared. We thank you that we can pray for the surgeons and the team that will be taking care of her. And we pray that this would bring healing that Jody has longed for. Lord, we pray in this time of worship, as we continue to read and pray and sing, that you would prepare us to receive communion, that we would seek your forgiveness of the sins that we have committed and be restored through the grace and the promise as we remember Jesus in communion. Lord, gather together as your people. Hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we pray once again as we dedicate our offerings this morning. Lord, we thank you for both daily and eternal provision that you have given. We pray for our tithes and our offerings as we share in the ministry of your kingdom, that these offerings would be a blessing to you and that you would bless both the givers and the receivers. In Christ we pray. Amen. I invite our ushers to come forward and receive.
Our sermon scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 9. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. And from Mark chapter 13, 24 through 37. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that the summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with an assigned task. He tells one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This is God's holy word.
I encourage you to open up a Bible or an app to Mark chapter 13. We've read the end of the chapter, and I want to go back to the beginning as we think about one particular verse, verse 33, be on guard, be alert. Mark 13, verses 1 through 4, as Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown away." As Jesus was sitting in the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" A very real conversation between some of the disciples and Jesus himself, doing what we probably normally like to do. We like to know when something's going to happen so that we can be ready or prepared. This whole thought about verse 33, be on guard, be alert, do we pay attention to those kinds of things? We just live through each day. Are we thinking about down the road, down the future? There are many kinds of ways that we are warned about impending doom. Those weather forecasts, those dreaded weather forecasts of plummeting temperatures and 12 inches of white snow. Do we worry about those? Do we prepare for those kinds of times? What kind of stockpile of food or water do we have in our homes during tornado season when we are warned by public service announcements to be ready, to be alert, to be on guard? The disciples wanted to know. And it's very interesting when Jesus talks about the fig tree. I talked a little bit about this in senior high Sunday school. Anybody here have a fig tree in their yard? So how are we going to know when summer's coming if we can't look at the fig tree? Basically, if you look at any kind of tree, when it starts to get warmer, when the end of the shoots get a little green and supple and that bud is about to burst, you have hope that spring's coming and soon there will be summer. Jesus doesn't give any kind of signs or warnings to the disciples to actually know when the end times are coming. There's times here in Scripture and recorded that there are going to be wars and rumors of wars and nation will rise against nation. There's going to be deception. There's going to be false prophets, people that claim to be Jesus or to know when Jesus is returning. Believers are going to be persecuted even while the gospel is being preached to all the nations. Jesus talks about the abomination that causes desolation. That's drawn from the prophecy of Daniel. Days of distress, unequaled since the beginning of time. Talking about specifically the destruction of the temple. So there's some signs and warnings out there, but really only the Father knows when the end times will come. I mean, it was supposed to happen quickly, but we're still here 2,000 years later and it hasn't happened. And we still have this word, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Did you know any of the children might start speaking? Or were you just amazed as I was at how long they could sit there without, I mean, one of them was ready to giggle. One closed their eyes so they wouldn't hear any, they're watching and they're waiting for that word to speak. We are watching and waiting and we are to be prepared. To be on guard and to be alert. For what? What attacks your faithfulness to the Lord? What goes on in your mind? What goes on in your heart that happens or you think or occurs that draws you away from the Lord? What draws you away from faithfulness to the Lord in any and all situations? What is there in life or in the world that captures our attention greater than this word from the Gospel of Mark? And that is different for each and every person. And we have to wipe out those thoughts. We have to be on guard and alert because we don't know when Jesus will return. I mean, we know that Jesus came. He came and he left the disciples to accomplish the work that he left for them to do. And he left, and he's promised to come back, as Jesus talks about here in Mark 13. And what do? We wait. We wait. Now, some of you, 90, 80, 70, I can't say 60 because I'm in that group. You've been waiting all of your life. You've heard this message before, and Jesus still has not come back. So why wait any longer? Maybe we think it won't happen for another 30 years or 300 years. We've already been waiting 2,000. Why be ready now? Do you go down that road? Do you try and justify not being ready? This is the word of Jesus. And he warns us to be ready at all times. Being ready has an effect on our Christian lives today. Christian character does matter. We live in a sense of urgency. When we are on guard and we are on alert, there's a sense of urgency. And that urgency is to propel us, is to challenge us to speak boldly about our faith. We were blessed to go to Canton yesterday, not for a football game, but we went for a family gathering. We were right there at the Hall of Fame. But we went for a family gathering, and I have a young niece. How old are you? 32, 25, 26. And she couldn't wait to tell us that she had been baptized recently. And she was bold in her statements, talking about her faith and how it's been developed in these last few years, even months. And she had this boldness and courage that I've never seen before. And as I thought about this morning, we are challenged to speak boldly. I'm thinking of my young niece. If we are ready, if we are on guard and alert, it helps us to keep a light touch on the things of this world. I read that this week. It helps us keep a light touch on the things of this world. As Christians who believe in Jesus Christ and His eventual return, we don't have to be worried about those end times through our belief. And while we wait, we're led by Scripture and its truth rather than the things of this world. With a light touch, it's easy to let those things go that pull us away from the Lord. And as the evolution of our Christmas celebration has changed over the years, there's a lot more focus on the material than on the spiritual. And it's a challenge for us in this Advent season to be watching and waiting for Jesus. Amen. On this first Sunday of the Advent season, we celebrate that Christ is Lord, and we wait expectantly for His return. We come to this table to know the risen Christ and the sharing of this life-giving bread and this life-enriching fruit of the vine. Please pray with me. Emmanuel, God with us, You have called us to be Your children, calling us through Your precious and life-giving word, calling us through the grace of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. In this time of confession, we lift our thoughts and our words to You, confessing the ways we have sinned against You and sinned against others in our lives. We confess our pride and our independence, our lack of paying attention to You. We confess not having You as our first priority. Forgive us, Lord. Renew us through the hope and the promise of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God promises forgiveness of sins and renewal of the Spirit through the saving grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Through Christ and through your faith in Him, know that you have the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the sacrament of communion, we remember the night on which Jesus had gathered in the upper room with the disciples, and that night in which He would later be betrayed. But while they were at the table celebrating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, He broke it. And He gave it to His disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is My body, which is broken for you." In the same way, Jesus took the cup. And He said to them, "This is the new covenant in My blood, shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that You would bless this bread and bless this fruit of the vine. Bless us with Your grace and peace as we receive these elements in remembrance of what You did for us on the cross of Calvary. Make this a part of our relationship with You and not just a ritual. We bow before You in this time of communion. Amen. These are the gifts of faith, the gifts of God for the people of God. We take these in remembrance that Christ died for us and was raised to life for us. And I invite all who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior to receive of these elements. I invite our service to come forward for now. All things are ready. Remembering Christ and his sacrifice for you, take and eat. Thank you. remembering Christ and his shed blood for your forgiveness, take and drink. Having received these elements of communion, may you be blessed during the Advent and Christmas seasons as you focus in on Jesus Christ, your Lord. Amen.
A simple stable, a simple manger, and a simple carol with a message of the greatest gift ever given. Please join us in Away in a Manger, Forever Amen. Following the spoken benediction, we will sing verse 1 of Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, found in the hymnal on page 127. And the last phrase, O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for Thee. Please stand as you're able.
Thank you.
Here's this closing word from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to the ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Depart in his peace. Amen.